This is the GGC Life podcast.
This series, the last few weeks, we've been spending time on, we titled it as a pastoral team, as a church, Spirit-Filled. And with the purpose and intention to reveal the Spirit in a way that may make sense to people that have no depth or no understanding, no comprehension to it, maybe no words. And this topic in particular has that I'm going to minister on, being speaking in tongues, has been on my heart for the last, I'll say, 6 months. I've been kind of curating a message and understanding a depth of the word, tying scriptures together. And the reality is, speaking in tongues is something very challenging to our mind. Now, I say the word tongues, and immediately, I'm not going to throw a stat out there, 60% of you, more than half, are probably like, whack job, he needs help, don't understand it, don't want to be near it, it's weird, it's fake, it's not real, whatever. And then there's like 20% that are like all for it, and you're like, yeah, randaraka, me sienderike. And then there's another 20% that are just like, I don't want to know, and I just want to stay away from it, okay? So my heart this morning is that we're going to unpack what tongues is. We're going to unpack, is it for today? We're going to understand how we pray in tongues. And then we're going to also dive into briefly why we pray in tongues. Okay, so it's, I have a lot of content. There's going to be a lot of scriptures. And I can't expect you all to turn from one page to another. So I'm going to read them. Feel free to write them down. And I will happily, I'll be here after the service, send you all my notes for you to study them for yourself, okay? So I'm going to run. I'm going to be running like I'm talking now. I knew as I came up, I'm like, I have to start off fast because we got a lot to go through. But I'll talk clearly. I'll talk gently. And we'll be on the same page. I prophesy. Very good. So, yeah, it's something that needs to be discussed. Because I think ultimately we hear of tongues in a world where people haven't put much language to it, and it leaves confusion. It does. For some people that have maybe been brought up in the church, in the Pentecostal charismatic sphere, even not, you know, there's some, yeah, you got brought up in that sphere, and you may not have even been taught, you may not have had any depth of understanding of tongues separate from Acts 2, where there was an outpouring of the Spirit and they spoke in tongues. So your beautiful, pure heart looked at the scriptures and went, well, it says the Spirit poured out and it's for all of us, so I'm just going to believe it and roll with it, which is great. It's an awesome place to start. But I hope that after today, I'm going to, 70% of this message, the three quarters of this message is going to be on what is tongues. And my heart and expectation this morning is that as I unpack what tongues is, it'll bring a level of understanding for you to grow from, okay? So we're not going to be able to cover all aspects of tongues. We're not going to be able to cover all aspects of the Spirit, but we will unpack a lot of things. And I hope my heart this morning is that after this morning, you'll leave going, okay, there's a lot for me to read on, pray about, and consider, okay? Awesome. So speaking in tongues should not bring confusion. It should ultimately, it serves one end purpose. It should ultimately bring glory to God. There are three, what I like, I word it like, there's three types of tongues, or there's three affected parties when tongues is manifested. It is yourself, the church, or the unbeliever, and God. Three affected parties. Ultimately, it must bring glory to God. That's it. It's a two-way conversation. If we want to put it plainly, for maybe there's people in this room that don't have language, they don't even know what that word tongues is. They're like, oh, what do you mean by tongue? What are you referring to? The simplest way, if I can make it as simple as possible, is it is the language of heaven. It is the language from the Spirit. Remember, there's three different types. I'm going to unpack that. There's the language from the Spirit. I like to say it like it's Spirit initiated. Okay? So if you're writing notes, if you're going to struggle and do your best to try to write along, I titled this topic, is speaking in tongues. speaking in tongues. So what is it? Mark, scriptures that you can write down, Mark 16, verse 14 to 19, unpacks it. But I'm going to just read from 1 Corinthians 14:2. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So it's the language that comes from the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. It's a language, okay? It is the Holy Spirit speaking with your spirit and through your spirit. Okay, I'm going to make a few statements and we're going to continue to unpack it. So just journey along with me, okay? It is, so what is tongues? We're still on this thing. What is tongues? It is a helpful precursor to the prophetic. So if we're wanting to operate in the prophetic gift, we look at Acts 19 verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began speaking in tongues and then prophesying. Multiple times throughout scripture, that's one part of it. So to flow in the prophetic, it helps that you speak in tongues, okay? In its presence, it makes the mind absent. Now this is a good thing because our spirit is being built up. Paul ultimately calls, which we'll look at in 1 Corinthians 14, that he refers to how the spirit is being built up, but the mind is absent. Now, it's good that our spirit is built up, but in the context of a church space and sphere, congregation, it is necessary that there's interpretation. We'll get to that for the building up of the church. We're going to get to that, okay? But can we get one thing? Tongue serves one purpose, to give glory to God. If in a meeting, if in a group of people, a church service, if it starts to bring a distraction from the glory of God, I'm not going to make a blank statement and say it's not from God, but I would question if it's from God. Tongues manifested ultimately brings glory to God. That is it. Very simple, okay? It has to bring glory to God. So there's three types of tongues. One is that it builds you up. Two, that it builds the church up. And three, that it converses and speaks mysteries unto God. So number one is it builds you up. 1 Corinthians 14:4. I'm going to be sharing a lot of scripture. So feel free to just sit there, have your heart open and listen. Please, I'm spitting everywhere. Please, as I share I might share 1 to 2, 3 verses. I'm going to give you the context of each chapter, but I'd like to encourage you to read the whole chapters, okay? 14 verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Jude 1:20, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 to 27, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Tongues brings peace. Tongues brings clarity. Tongues feeds your spirit, man. Tongues makes foresight more clearly. Remember, we talked about the prophetic. Prophetic is ultimately foresight revealed. What is to come revealed. So it makes what is to come, it opens it up. How I like to see it is like the, In your eyes, what do you have when your vision, they blur your vision? No, not blurry vision. Someone will have it, surely. Cataracts. It affects the light that comes in, which affects your perception. Tongues ultimately removes the cataracts of your life. If the cataracts are removed, you see clearly. It is little speckled dots that stop your vision from seeing clearly. Tongues makes you see clearly. Tongues breaks off strongholds. You can be self-delivered in tongues because it's not yourself that's praying, it's a spirit that's praying. Tongues makes you more aware of the glory of the Lord than yourself. If you are more concerned of what sound comes out of your mouth than the glory of the Lord, then be mindful you may not be even praying in tongues. In fact, in our modern day charismatic sphere, it is very common for people, and I'm not here questioning that's tongues, that's not. I'm saying as a culture, because it's like it's a weird bullied into thing, right? It's like, oh, you need to pray in tongues for salvation. That's not it, right? In fact, in scriptures, I think in that same Acts 19, they already were baptized in John the Baptist. Or they knew of Jesus. They believed, and they we're going to get to that. I'm going to start going in a different direction. So it builds you up, okay? Another type of tongue is that it builds up the church, okay? So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, we're going to start reading through 1 Corinthians 14 in a moment. But also in Acts 2, verse 11. So this is the first understanding of the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, both Jews, please read the whole chapter, please. But I'm just, for the sake of time, I want you to see these pictures. I want your eyes to be open to what the scriptures are saying so that it makes sense. Because I would hate for you as a pastor, as an elder of the church, I would hate for you to sit in the room and Sal says, let's start praying in tongues. And the person next to you starts praying in tongues and you're like, what the heck am I a part of? This is strange. This is weird. It's not real. It's fake. It's emotionalism. It's all sorts of stuff. I want to help you make sense of this according to the scriptures. There's no mystery that's separate from the word of God. The mystery, the ultimate mystery has been revealed. The cat's out of the bag. It's Jesus Christ. It's him crucified. Now there's, yeah, okay, stay on track. Builds the church, both Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Get this. Other people in the room of a different language heard in their native tongue the mighty works of God and glory and them singing praises to God. So tongues that was manifested in Acts 2 built up the church. You're the church. It's people. Built up the people. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, tongues manifested in a way that blessed all those from different nations. When they were speaking in other tongues, the scriptures just showed that they were astonished. They're like, wow, they're speaking in my native language. I actually I have a friend, so this is first-hand account, well, their account, so that, whatever you call that, second-hand, where they were in a meeting in a third world nation and they started praying in tongues and lo and behold, there was someone in that room that was about to commit mass murder. They had a gun in them. They were about to light everyone up. And that person that was next to them praying in tongues was speaking in that person's native tribal dialect saying, I know who you are. Your name is this. You live in this tribe. You're like all their details, sort of where they live, who they are, how old they are. And that person ran to the front, repented, threw their weapon aside and repented and gave their life to God. That's incredible. It builds up the church. So we have one that builds yourself up. You pray and the glory of the Lord builds and edifies your spirit. You have tongues that ultimately builds up the church, builds up other people. Paul makes it clear that it's better to prophesy unless there is interpretation in 1 Corinthians 14, which also suggests it's better that you speak in tongues if there is interpretation than even the prophetic. Wild. Tongues moves the anointed. We're all anointed. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been saved, you've received the Holy Spirit, you're anointed by God. Moves the anointed to flow in anointing. It doesn't just stop with you. It flows from you and through you. The Holy Spirit isn't a mystical being that just does new agey things. I say that word because it's such a popular thing. But this was before, like, yeah. Okay, builds up the church. I hope you guys are getting this. Number three is that it converses with God. Okay? So it speaks mysteries unto him and him alone. Only God understands. So we have one that builds our spirit up, one that builds a church, one that speaks mysteries and gives glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to man, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Acts 10, verse 46, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Now, I would say that it is better that you give your life to Jesus, you get baptized, and then, yeah, awesome. For me, salvation, confessing your sins, giving your life to Jesus, is tied to, it's connected with baptism. They go hand in hand. And we need to get better at that, especially in our Western society. It's like, just stop your busy lives, go to somewhere, go get baptized. But in this example, they got filled with the Spirit of God before they were even baptized. So don't believe a lie where someone says, oh, they weren't baptized in water, so they can't be filled with the Spirit. But what I will say is that Jesus says that you confess your sins, you turn away from your old life, and be baptized and be saved. So it goes hand in hand. Now, it speaks mysteries unto God. As you pray with and in His Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, He fills you with glory. So when you give glory to God, it's a two-way conversation. God is not a silent God. When He speaks, you bring His glory in this atmosphere. What do I mean by that? There's many people I know that are in this church that are from a different native tongue. Now, you're in Australia, which is a Western society, an English-speaking nation. If you speak in your native tongue here, you've just brought something of you, where you're from, into this present space. When you speak in heavenly tongues, you bring what is from heaven into the presently. It's so profound. It's quite incredible. When you pray in tongues, you bring what is of heaven, what is of the Spirit of truth into this physical earthly now. So what is tongues? It is ultimately a language. It has to bring glory to God. It builds you up. It builds the church up. And it gives glory to God. It speaks mysteries unto God. Then the question lies, is it for today? Now, very commonly, in our day and age, there's two core arguments where people ask, is it for today? It's generally speaking, the Holy Spirit was poured out for the 12 disciples, them and them alone, and it died with the 12 disciples. And then the other one is, well, tongues, Paul says it's not to be done in church, it's in church. Like it's not like just be silent unless there's interpretation. Let's make that clear. Let's bring clarity to that. Okay. So let's explore what the scriptures say. Mark 16, verse 14 to 20. I'm reading for in between ESV and NASB. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, please remember, just read the full context. You'll get a better understanding of the heart and a picture of God here. Because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Get this. This is the last of Jesus' words before he ascended. He said, not my 12 disciples come here, I'm going to pray an impartation over you. You're going to receive the baptism of the Spirit. And now you'll just do all my works. And hopefully there'll be enough of a ripple effect until I return. He said, go preach the gospel of the kingdom Go share the news of Jesus Christ, those that confess their sins. Be baptized. Those who believe. He's not saying the disciples. He's saying them who believe will inherit the working of miracles, will inherit speaking in tongues. This is not Josiah here standing up telling you, guess what, guys, it's a great idea. I believe that this angel of the Lord said to me that you guys can pray in tongues. No, the Bible says that those who believe will pray in tongues. There's no way around it. Jesus is saying that it is for you and I who believe, Jews and Gentiles. Jesus came not to just save the Jews, he didn't abolish the old covenant, he fulfilled it so that the Gentiles could come into this covenant unto God. The key distinguisher here is that it's just not for the apostles. Jesus said, it is for all those who believe. The second argument is, well, there needs to be interpretation. Stop praying in tongues. Hold it up. Now, let me just give you some context. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 to 40. In fact, the whole of 1 Corinthians 14 is almost all about order in the church. The entire chapter. He's not singling out tongues. In fact, he calls out, it's quite the opposite. In fact, he actually says in the same chapter where he's saying there needs to be interpretation, he says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Who says that? Imagine I said to you, hey, you, Leon, you need to be praying in tongues more, bro. I pray in tongues more than you. Who says that? Like, Paul does. I do too. No. But get this, in the same chapter, he says, tongues needs to be interpreted. He also says in the context of congregation, if there's going to be the prophetic, it needs to be weighed up by two or three witnesses. And it also tells women to be silent in the church. Now we know that's not true. We look at the scriptures. If you actually read it, it shows that they're calling out. They're speaking loud and they're disrupting the meeting. Ultimately, Paul is trying to say, we want these gatherings to make sense. We want them to be clear. We want people to understand what is happening. He's not saying, women, be silent. He says, go back. And how I read the scripture is, he's saying, go back to your connect groups. Go back to your homes and your life groups at home. And go discuss the word there. Now's not the time for you to, you know, ask questions and we're having a back and forward like conversation. The reality is, we're teaching of the word. And Paul is trying to bring order to what the church is about. You know how we're meeting here today, a little side tangent, wasn't just created like last year, a few hundred years ago. The gatherings, they've been meeting in corporate gatherings since the beginning, since the old covenant. They met together. It's wild to me how we try to deconstruct what God is doing in a moment. Because we're in the now going, oh, God is of a new move. I'm sorry, but God was always about his church. Old covenant, new covenant, doesn't matter. It was all about his church. There was always, always, always the gathering. Do not forsake the gathering. Always. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to say this as a loving brother, son, father, whoever you want to see me, as a friend, as a stranger. But if you believe the lie that you're good on your own, if you believe the lie that, you know what, I can do this, I'm going to grow in myself and listen to my favorite preacher on YouTube, I'm sorry, you're deceived and you're way off track, and I pray that you see it for what it is, because you're on a dangerous path in the wrong direction. Circling back. So Paul ultimately calls for order. That's what he's doing. He says it's good that you pray in tongues. We should desire the prophecy and we should not forbid tongues. That's what Paul is saying, but it should be order. How I like to see it is, and again, it doesn't say it plainly like this, but it's as I read the scriptures, I look at different contexts and I'm trying to understand it. And I see examples in our day now is I would almost understand this to, there are people that would get up here, start talking in tongues, praying in tongues, mesi andaraka runduruku, fendi ete, shiandaraka setereku, runderosi manaraka, and then just walk off and go, cool, you're built up in the spirit. Like, Paul is saying, no, there's no order in that. Bring accountability, bring direction, bring understanding. Okay? So to further grasp that the scriptures affirm speaking in tongues for today, we must also understand how we pray in tongues and why. Learning how we and why we speak in tongues gives us insight into how Jesus released us to empower the Great Commission. So how? Praying in tongues is not something you make up. It requires repentance of sins, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, surrendering to Him, and in that surrendered position, He promised His Spirit would fill you. Those in Acts 2 were waiting for the Spirit of God. They were surrendered. They were in a place of surrender. They were in that room, surrendered, waiting. So you ask yourself, why haven't I just encountered the Spirit of God? My question to you is, have you really surrendered? I'm not saying speaking in tongues. I'm saying the Spirit of God. But He promised it. And we see it time and time again all throughout Scripture. I can't just buy into the lie that you can live your entire life and never encounter, like with understanding. If you've never had understanding, if it's never been taught, then sure. But with understanding and never see tongues manifested. Now, we don't just manifest tongues for the sake of manifesting tongues. We're trying to just bring some context and clarity and understanding to tongues so we can go away and be built from this, okay? So, you don't always need someone to lay hands on you. Acts 2, no one laid hands on them. You know, it says Acts 2, no one laid hands on them. And you also don't need someone to coach you through it. Now, it can be helpful. I'm not talking against it. But you look at Acts 19, where Paul, you know, is talking to these group of people. He prays for them. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is nowhere in the Scripture where Paul says, you know what you're going to do? You're just going to close your eyes. You're going to surrender. Still your heart. Try not to think about anything. And then just start to talk. Like, no. He prayed for them. And the Spirit of God filled them. What happened? Tongues manifested. Get this. A few verses earlier in Acts 19, they didn't even hear of this Holy Spirit baptism, right? Paul doesn't go ahead and start explaining to them. He prays for them. They get baptized. Meaning, these people manifested tongues without being coached through it. Does that make sense? Now, that's the difference between it's something that comes by the Spirit, but we can pray with the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Spirit. How I like to see it is there's like two dimensions or paradigms into our prayer life when we're praying or speaking in tongues. What do you mean by that, Josiah? Let me show you. When we pray with the Holy Spirit, our spirit aligns with the Holy Spirit and a heavenly language flows as we prompt it. So that's when I'm praying now. So if I'm praying here and I'm going, masindereke, runduruku, setereke, fandereke, shindaraka, sunduruku, retaraka, mandere. It is my spirit partnering with the Holy Spirit that's within me, speaking oracles to God, giving glory to Him, building my spirit up. That's me prompting. Our spirit prays with partnership with His Spirit. Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 14, 14 to 19. And even 14 to 19, for if I pray, just for time's sake, please read it. My spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I pray with my spirit. So my spirit, I'm praying, my mind is praying with my spirit, which prays with the Holy Spirit. This in the context of tongues, so how we can prompt this our spirit to pray in tongues. We can prompt it. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, you look at Ephesians 6 and Acts 10, they're just a couple of examples. The Holy Spirit, Acts 2, flows through us almost effortlessly, almost involuntarily. Now, I use the word involuntarily because it almost comes like without you prompting it. Now, it's with permission because you chose to surrender to the life of Jesus Christ. So when we give our life to Jesus and we surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, in our life of surrender, in that moment we've surrendered, we've said, Holy Spirit, fill me, I'm surrendered. And Acts 2, Acts 10, Ephesians 6, the Spirit of God pours out. Acts 19, and it manifests. In Acts 19, Paul's first question was whether they'd received the Holy Spirit, indicating its priority. You know, Paul just met these people in Acts 19. He said, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Priority. Have you? Tongues is a fruit, not the fruit, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So now I understand his context. He's talking about not tongues. He's saying, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? The what flows from the Holy Spirit is, all throughout Scripture, tongues and prophecy. So after that same context, he's like, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? They say, no, we've not heard of this. They get prayed for. They start speaking in tongues and prophesying. You guys all right? Michelle, do you want to help me out? Peace. So why? Why do we pray in tongues? Now, I believe that there's people in this room that maybe when they were first saved 15, 20 years ago, prayed in tongues. And then for the last 15, 20 years, it just kind of went dry. They just weren't sure what happened. And I felt like I could see that there's people in this room that are about to just be filled again. There's also others in this room that have never even heard what the Scriptures had to say about tongues. And maybe you've just been baffled by what even is tongues. I have faith for this morning that we're about to pray that, and you don't even need anyone to lay hands on you, but the Holy Spirit would pour His Spirit upon you. And that the evidence of that, an evidence of that, would be the outworking of a spiritual tongue, the outflowing of a spiritual tongue. So why do we pray in tongues? What is the purpose? Why do I need to do it? When we pray in our native tongue, we pray out of our understanding. Do you know how limited that is? When you pray in your native tongue, you are praying out of your understanding. Meaning, the depths of this word that you know, whether small or great, that is a level of your limitation of your prayer life. Not that church is the barometer, but how long you've been in church may play a role to the depths of your understanding of your native tongue prayer life. When you pray from your native tongue, you pray out of understanding. But when you pray in the Spirit, you pray prayers that surpass understanding. The Scriptures say that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf and prays the prayers we do not know how to pray. Sometimes we pray prayers like, this is such a weird example. Sometimes we pray prayers like, let's go farming. Oh, like, Lord, I just pray that there would be great crop. I need crop. I'm praying for crop to grow. But when we pray with the Spirit, surpasses our understanding, we're not realizing we need rain to come. Such an out there example. But get this. When you pray from what you see and from what you know. When you pray in the Spirit, it surpasses all of that. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is calling for order in the church, and he's saying that from the pulpit, don't go praying in tongues unless there's interpretation so that it can be a sign to the unbeliever. But in the context of the types of tongues, we understand that he's not diminishing tongues. He's saying, I pray in tongues more than you. So for those that do believe in this room, I'm talking to the believers, it's good that you pray in tongues. Do not quieten your spirit. When the space comes from it, we're about to pray, allow the Spirit of God to flow through you and allow yourself to be built up in the Spirit and allow your spirit to give glory to God, to speak mysteries unto God. When we pray in tongues, we are quickened in the Spirit. We are more immediately, we are more aware of the Lord than we are ourselves. Immediately. When we pray in tongues, we get caught up into the mysteries of God being revealed than the plans we have in 3-4 hours time. When we pray in tongues, we prioritize the perfect will of the Father, not just operating out of the permissible will. Hebrews 2, Romans 8, 26. When we pray, it puts our flesh to surrender and lifts up the Spirit. In fact, there's actually been many recent studies that show how when we pray in tongues, our minds, there's a part of our mind that actually switches off. Our spirit gets built up. Can we stand? Remember, Paul boasts in this. He says, I hope that you pray. I hope that you pray in tongues, that you may be built up, that you may grow in the Spirit. We recognize now that when we pray in tongues, when we speak in tongues, whether it's with the Spirit or in the Spirit, it is guided by His Spirit and expresses the oracles of heaven. It ultimately calls in the will of the Father. It ultimately is a precursor to the prophetic. It ultimately serves to bring glory back to God. When you pray in tongues, you pray to Him and Him alone. When you pray in tongues, the fire of God that consumes your life just goes vertical, and then His glory comes vertical back down. Need to do anything right now. You don't need to try to be or do something. The key is that Jesus is your Savior and a surrendered life. They go hand in hand. It's really one thing. You're surrendered to Jesus. I'm going to pray. And the Holy Spirit's going to baptize you. So just be ready. Written word, your spoken word, the word that is life, that gives life, that brings the dead to life. We honor you here this morning. To you, God, be given all the glory. Jesus, you are King. Your blood has washed us clean. We are forever changed. Thank you, Jesus, for your nails. For the nails that you bore, for the blood that you shed, for the whips that you endured. And we see you there at the right hand of the Father as your blood is being poured out as a pure and holy sacrifice, a pure lamb that was slain on our behalf. And Jesus, as you promised, we receive a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit, that it would consume us, that it would mark us, and that evidence of your Spirit
would be fruits of the Spirit, that would be power, and that your people here this morning would speak in heavenly tongues, that they would speak in the language of heaven, that they themselves would be built up in spirit. Baptize us now afresh, Spirit of God, fall afresh. Consume us now, head to toe.
Thanks for listening to the GGC Life podcast. We hope you feel encouraged. Be blessed.